Good morning, everybody. About a week ago, Steph had spoken to me about potentially preaching, and I hadn't wanted to commit because lockdown life is really so busy, and I know all the moms can really relate to that. Homeschooling is not for sissies. And so, yeah, I didn't want to commit because a lot goes into preparing for a preach, and so I didn't commit, but in the back of my mind, I just started praying quietly to God and saying, God, is there something that you would have me share? Do you have a word that you would like me to bring? And on Wednesday morning, I had a really cool and strange experience, which is that, I think I was awake, I'm not sure, but it was in between that, you know, when you're just waking up, that sort of strange time, and my eyes were still closed and it was still dark, and for I guess about 20 minutes it just felt like God downloaded this message and just showed it to me. And so I'm really excited to get to share that with you this morning, and it really is always an immense privilege to share the word of God. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for speaking to me. Lord, I pray that this morning you would speak through me. Father, I pray that it wouldn't be my thoughts or my words that would be shared, Lord, but that I would be faithful in sharing what you have to say this morning. Lord, I pray for open hearts, open minds, and Lord, I pray that your name would be glorified through our meeting together virtually this morning. We love you, Lord. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So the other night, my kids were talking amongst themselves, and the conversation went something like this. Do you know that to Goliath, we probably look as small as germs? What? Yeah. But to God, Goliath probably looks as small as a germ on a germ. No. Yeah. But what that means is that to God, we probably look as small as a germ on a germ on a germ. Right, Mom? I'm not quite sure. I don't know if microscopes are really advanced enough to see if there are germs on germs on germs. But I loved the conversation, and it of course reminded me of the story of the spies who were sent to do a recce into the promised land. Now, God had promised the Israelites this beautiful land flowing with milk and honey. And so before taking occupation, Moses sent 12 spies in to check out the lay of the land and to advise on the best approach. The spies return and they extol the wonders of this land. But while Joshua and Caleb are keen to move in and to take possession of God's promises for his people, the other 10 spies say that all the people in the land are really tall and that in comparison to such giants, the Israelites seem as small as grasshoppers. Unfortunately, the people take the side of the cowards and they refuse to trust the promise of God. Now, the tragedy of the story for me is that these are the same people who have seen God bring the plagues against Egypt. It's the same group that have seen God part the Red Sea and deliver manna from heaven, and yet they are convinced that in comparison to the inhabitants of this promised land, they are as small as grasshoppers. The perspective is, of course, all wrong. They shouldn't compare themselves to these people. They should compare these people to their God, because compared to the mighty God who has shown his hand again and again and again, these people aren't even grasshoppers. These people are as small as a germ on a germ on a germ. I think that one of the greatest challenges of humanity must surely be that of perspective. The very same facts can be embraced in entirely different ways depending on your perspective. And so today I want to challenge your perspective. Specifically, I want to do two things. I want to call you to a godly perspective. Then I want to share some insight into God's perspective of the church. Right now, the perspective of much of humanity is utterly overwhelmed by coronavirus. In fact, hasn't it been so nice the last few minutes listening to announcements, singing about God, hearing about my kids and the Israelites, and not talking about coronavirus? Aren't you so sick of hearing about coronavirus? Because the reality is that coronavirus is pretty much top of mind across the planet. It feels all consuming. It dominates every conversation, every online meeting, every newspaper, every news article, every website. In fact, by law, every South African website has to have a link to the government's COVID-19 website on its homepage. And so really, wherever you go online, it's coronavirus, coronavirus, coronavirus. And any plans you have, plans to complete the school year, plans to go on holiday, plans to marry, to have children, to retire, to work, to socialize, plans to exercise, even plans to shop. Every plan that you might have is affected by COVID-19. If COVID-19 were a character in a play, he would appear to be center stage, firmly in the spotlight. Yes, I'm making COVID-19 a male. All other characters will be cast to the wings. COVID-19 is taking center stage. And it's easy to imagine this virus as this dark, brooding cloud covering all of humanity, blocking out the sun. It's easy to believe that nothing has ever shaken the world like this. Nothing has ever had such a massive, life-changing impact on our lives. Nothing has ever changed absolutely everything the way that COVID-19 seems to have done. And that's a perfectly reasonable, logical human perspective right now. These are unprecedented times, for want of a hackneyed phrase. But this morning I want to invite you to shift your perspective. Colossians 3 verse 2 says, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." Will you do me a favor and close your eyes for a bit? Now imagine yourself traveling away from the earth. You're zooming out from the earth. Imagine that you're zooming out to a place where you can see the whole of humanity, just as God does. Now we know that God stands outside of space and time. So for him to see that all at once is mind-bending to comprehend. We can't comprehend it, but for now, let's just imagine that along with God, you can see past, present, and future all at once. All the millions of days, all the thousands of years are stretched out before you from left to right. Now, in light of that timeline, in light of that huge timeline, how do you now see coronavirus? Because that same thing, which an instant ago seemed to cover all the world as this dark, rumbling cloud, is suddenly smaller than a germ on a germ on a germ. It comes down to perspective. When your heart is troubled, whose perspective do you seek? Is it your social media stream? Is it your family WhatsApp group? Is it News 24? Or is it the one who created you, O Jacob? He who formed you, O Israel? We need to know not only how God sees the virus, but more importantly, we need to know how he sees us. See, my girls were right and they were wrong. Yes, God's enemies are as small as germs on germs to him. But no, that does not mean that we are as small as a germ on a germ on a germ to him. Not a chance. If you're feeling forgotten this morning, if you're hungry, if you have no job, if you have no hope, if you have no future, if you've not touched another human in 35 days, if you are entirely unseen, overlooked, starving, scared, lonely, I want you to know that God sees you. You are not a germ on a germ on a germ to him. You are not a germ to him. You are his beloved. He sees you. He is enamored by you. He cannot take his eyes off of you. I have a trick question for us this morning. Who plays the leading role on the stage of humanity? Now, perhaps a few minutes ago, you might have said coronavirus. But now we know that in the timeline of humanity, coronavirus is only a germ on a germ on a germ. So who is it? Is it who? The WHO, I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that. Is it Donald Trump? Is it Boris Johnson? Is it Cyril Ramaphosa? What about back in the 1940s? Who played the starring role then? Was it Hitler? Or how about further back? Who played the lead? Was it Napoleon? Our perspective is such a narrow human perspective, and we allow the media and history books to answer this question for us. There's only ever been one character who has played the leading role throughout human history. What character has always had the leading role in the stage of humanity? And all the Sunday school kids are shouting, Jesus! But no, I told you it was a trick question. Jesus precedes humanity. Jesus spoke creation into being. And so, what has the story of humanity been about from the very start? What character has held the leading role throughout humanity? Have you got it yet? It's the bride of Christ. That's the godly perspective. If we believe the media, then the leading role right now is played by Donald Trump. But if we were to zoom outside of our own narrow focus for a bit and see things the way that God does, we would see that it is all about his bride. If there were a TV in heaven, it would not be tuned to Keeping Up with the Kardashians or reruns of The Apprentice or even our presidential addresses. No. If there was a TV in heaven, it would be channeling the church. If there were websites in heaven, they would be reporting on the church. Every article would be about the church. What is the bride of Christ doing? What is she up to now? What are her top 10 songs at the moment? What is she doing in terms of current health situations? What is the church's comment on politics? What impact is the church having on the world? And if there were history books in heaven, they'd tell the story of God's people right from the Garden of Eden through to Abraham and the covenant, to the exodus from Egypt and the occupation of the promised land, all the way through to the book of Acts. Okay, so now you're saying, yeah, Kaz, that's called the Bible. But do you think God took his eyes off his people a couple of thousand years ago? Not a chance. He has been avidly following his people. The big stories for him aren't what Hitler said or how Churchill strategized. They're how Christ followers mobilized to smuggle Jewish children out of Nazi-occupied states ahead of the war, and how people like Corrie ten Boom and her family and who knows how many others sacrificed their own safety to protect others because as Christians they knew it was what God would have them do. In the history books of heaven, there are stories upon stories upon stories about faithful people we have never heard of. Unsung heroes, people who quietly went on with what God called them to and never told a soul because they were living for an audience of one. People who used what they had to bless others. People who fed the poor. People who shared the gospel. You know, I bet there's a whole library, and in that library there's probably an entire section of books dedicated to prayer warriors. Prayer warriors, unremarkable men and women who quietly changed the course of history through their prayers. You see, since the start of humanity, it's been about preparing his bride, preparing a people for himself. Through the course of human history, the attention of God and all of heaven has been fixed on God's people. We think coronavirus is such a big deal, but it is a germ on a germ on a germ in the timeline of humanity. The timeline of human history, it's a pinprick, it's a comma, it's a blip. And when you stretch out the timeline of thousands of years of human history, it is tiny, it is infinitesimal. But do you know what isn't? The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the world would have you relegate that moment to history, as though a mere teacher had died. But the difference between that event and every other event in the history of humanity is that the death and resurrection of Jesus changed everything forever. You know, I've seen a lot of people posting a particular post on Facebook, and it's this thing where they say the date and then they describe the shocking realities of our current situation. So for example, they'll say 30th of April 2020, schools have been closed. We have to stay in our homes, we're not allowed to socialize, there's no alcohol or cigarettes for sale, there's an 8-to-5 curfew, etc, etc. And then they'll end the post saying, I'm posting this lest I forget what our reality was, and lest in the future I start to take my freedoms for granted. And it's a smart post to post, and it's a post based on the reality that after a while, things will normalize again, and it will be hard to imagine that this was ever really our reality. And even though the world is crazy right now, it's been crazy like this so many times before. Who even really knew about the 1918 flu pandemic before Corona? To our generation, it was a non-event. We've had two devastating world wars in the last century, more or less, and unless you were there, they're just stories, they're just history. And coronavirus will eventually be the same. But not Jesus. Because Jesus' death and resurrection brought about lasting, eternal change. Jesus' death is not a germ on a germ, it's not a blip, it's not a comma, it's like the central point of humanity, it's fireworks. It didn't just change travel and the economy and your budget. It changed eternity for his bride, for the church. And when I talk about the church, I'm not referring to the Baptists or the Catholics or to New Gen. I'm talking about those of us who know that we're sinners and gratefully bow our knee to Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who died to cancel the debt of our sins. I'm talking about the global church, past, present, and future. This is the chosen lady of Jesus. This is the bride of Christ. And you may be listening to this and you've never even entered a church building. It doesn't really matter. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're part of his church, you're part of his bride. Isn't that beautiful? If you're a follower of Jesus, you're my brother or sister in Christ. And so if you can accept that, if you can embrace something of God's perspective of the world and of this moment, then suddenly it becomes possible to raise our eyes beyond our immediate circumstances. Suddenly it becomes possible for us to think further than what the media is telling us matters most. Suddenly it becomes possible to think further than whatever is worrying you today. Perhaps it's salvaging the school year or balancing your budget or your empty fridge or your empty bank account or your job security or your summer body. Suddenly it becomes possible to raise our eyes above anything that doesn't echo into eternity. Because what if we actually lived with eternity in mind? How would that change things? How would that change your day? Realizing that the eyes of heaven are trained upon the bride of Christ and that the bride is here to bring him glory, how does that change you? How does that change the way you spend your time? How does it change your priorities? How does it change your spending? In a time like this, when all of life has been laid bare and we realize that fashion is nothing and extramurals are nothing, that plans are nothing, that prestige and wealth cannot save you, that a retirement fund is no guarantee, how do we respond? How do we respond when everything we've put our hope in comes to nothing? As the church, as his bride, are we cowering victims hoping for Cyril to save us? Or are we unsung heroes fighting the principalities and powers of this age in prayer? Do we respond in fear or in faith? Do you know that we pray weeknights at 6 p.m. as a church? It's half an hour on Zoom. And if you have data, why would you not want to be part of that? Because as believers, we don't place our hope in a vaccine. We place our hope in the God of the universe who has the power to conquer the pandemic with a snap of his fingers. And it will be prayer that moves that hand. The world will tell you that prayer is a crutch for the weak. But the world, for all its knowledge, didn't see this pandemic coming. The single most effective thing you can do as a believer is pray. And every single one of us, rich or poor, weak or strong, healthy or sick, every single one of us can pray. The call to prayer excludes nobody. If we had any inkling of the power of our prayers, we wouldn't miss this opportunity to change the course of history. Do you know that along with other churches in the basin, we have fed thousands of people since the start of lockdown? Let me ask you this. Who is your provider? The world will tell you to self-protect. They'll tell you that looking out for yourself and your family and hoarding all you can to secure your future is a responsible thing to do. But the word says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. If you believe that God is your provider, then consider this. Is God still blessing you with a salary, even though so many people have lost theirs? If he is, why do you think he's doing that? Why do you think he's still putting money in your bank account every month? Do you think it's so that you can live it up in your cushy home while his people are starving on the streets? I don't think so. It's not the God we serve. God doesn't bless us for any other reason than for us to be a blessing. He entrusts us with wealth because he wants to see us use it to bless others. Many people have donated to Taste and See, and that's amazing. It's enabled us to feed thousands of people. But we need to be feeding more. There are people lining the fence at the refinery who haven't eaten in days, and through no fault of their own. There are foreign nationals who have no hope of a government grant. They have nothing to feed their children. We need to do more. Please don't contact us and ask us to fix it. We are doing everything we can with what we have. God is calling you to use what you have. This is the church's hour. This is our chance to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And you are the church. Romans 13, 11 to 12 says, besides this, you know the time. You know that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. All of heaven is leaning forward to see how we will represent him in this season. In the history books of heaven, will you be recorded as having stuck your head in the sand, binge-watching Netflix while you waited for a vaccine? Or will you be recorded as one of the unsung heroes, quietly getting on, glorifying God and changing the course of history through your prayers and your actions? It's a matter of perspective. 2 Corinthians 4:18, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We need to zoom out and see things as God does. Come on, church. This is our hour.